Shabbos Daf Samach Zayin. Rav Huna says, for a fever that strikes every 3 days, you should bring together 7 branches from 7 date palms, 7 splinters from 7 beams of wood, 7 pegs from 7 bridges, 7 types of ash from 7 ovens, 7 types of dirt from 7 door sockets, 7 types of pitch from 7 ships, 7 kernels of cumin, 7 hairs from the beard of an aged dog, and you should tie that all together by the neck opening of your shirt with a hair. Rabbi Yochanan says that for a burning fever, you should take a knife that's completely iron and go to a thorn bush and tie a strand of hair onto it. And the first day, you should loosely tie it and say, the angel of Hashem appeared to Moshe in the fire in the thorn bush, because we're saying that just like this thorn bush was insusceptible to the fire, so too I should be insusceptible to the fire of this fever. And then the next day, you should tie it a little tighter and say the pasuk of, and Moshe said, oh, let me go check this out. Because again, he's seeing that this flame, the fire wasn't consuming the bush. And then on the third day, you should tie it even tighter and say, and Hashem saw that he turned to see, that Moshe turned to see. And the pasuk says he turned. So we're talking about how the fever should turn away from you. Rav Achbarei de Rava asked Rav Ashi, why don't we also say the pasuk of, that's in that same context, don't come closer to here. Because this is saying that the fever shouldn't come closer, it should go away. So that's why he's going to change a little bit and say, the first day you say the pasuk of the angel of Hashem appeared to Moshe, and then and continue with the pasuk of, and Moshe said, oh, let me go check this out. The second day you should say the pasuk of Hashem saw that he turned aside, and on the third day you should say the pasuk of, don't come any closer. And once the fever has stopped, it's gone away, you should cut off the bush from the ground, and you should say the thorn bush. It's not because you're better than any of the other trees that Hashem rested on you, rather it's because you're humbler. Just as the fire fled from Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so too this fire should flee from me, and I should be done with this fever. For boils, you should say Baz, Bazia, Mas, Masia, Kas, Kasia, Shaldia, Charle, and Amarle. These angels were sent forth from Sodom to heal painful boils. Bezach, Bazich, Bazbazich, Mas, Masich, Kamon Kamich, the color of these boils should stay like it is. The place where the boils are should stay like they are. The seed of the boils should be like a sterile person or a mule, which are not going to be, and these boils too should not increase and multiply. So again, these are all like these weird kind of cures, and they kind of sometimes just seems like you're saying gibberish. But apparently they worked. For blisters, you should say the unsheathed sword and the readied slingshot. Its name is not Yochav, the painful illness. To banish a demon, you should say you were stopped up you were. You shall be cursed, broken, excommunicated. Bar Tit, Bar Tame, Bar Tina, as are Shamgaz, Merigaz, and Istime. To banish a demon from the bathroom, you should say upon the head of a lion and within the nostril of the lioness shall be found the demon Bar Shrika Panda. Upon a field of leeks, you should say, upon a field of leek I felled him, and with the jawbone of a donkey I smote him. And the Mishnah said that the princes could go out with bells, but it said that all people really are allowed to go out with the bells. So who is the opinion that says every person is allowed to go out with a bell on Shabbos? Rabbi Oshia says Rabbi Shimon, because we have a Mishnah that says all Jews are princes. So since all Jews are princes, they're allowed to go out with these princely ornaments. And Rava says, no, it's because the bells are woven into the garment. So according to everyone, that would be allowed, because you're not going to take the bell off to show it to other people and risk carrying it. The next Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says you could go out on Shabbos with a locust egg, a fox's tooth, a nail from a gallows, if these are all done for healing purposes. The Chum say, no, these are going to be usher even during the week, because this falls under the prohibition of the ways of the Amorim, the Amorites, which are kind of doing these like witchcraft practices, these superstitions and things like that, and so therefore it's not going to be allowed. The Gemara says the locust eggs, you would hang them from your ear for an earache. The fox's tooth would help you sleep. If you took the tooth of a live fox, it would help you stay awake. If you took the tooth of a dead fox, it would help you fall asleep. The nail from a gallows was used to heal the swelling of a wound. Rav Meir said in our Mishnah that you could go out with these things for healing purposes. The Chum say you can't, because these fall under the iser of the ways of the Amorim. So Abaye and Rava say that any practice which clearly has these therapeutic and health benefits would not fall under the iser of the ways of the Amori, because you're clearly doing it for its health benefits. However, this implies that if there's no clear health benefit, then it's going to be usher. But we have a Bryce that says that if there's an important tree, you know, you need this tree for fruits for you to eat, but it sheds its fruits way too early before they are ripe, then you should dye the tree with red pigment and put rocks on the branches. So the rocks, clearly we could see that will make the fruits take longer to ripen. It's kind of going to drain the tree a little bit and make it take longer to shed the fruit, so they'll have more time to ripen. However, the dye, that has no therapeutic benefit or healing benefit to the tree. That's just an emori practice. So we see that even things which have no health benefit are allowed, and they don't fall under the emori practice. So the Gemara is going to answer, no, the reason you're putting the dye on is that people will see and be like, oh, this guy must be, you know, struggling. This tree is really important to him, and it's shedding its fruits too early. They're going to start davening for mercy for him, like the Braisa, which says the pasuk of and mitzora shall call out, I am tame. The Braisa says from this pasuk we learn that you have to tell people about your misfortune so that they daven for you. Ravino says, yeah, this Braisa is also the basis for the idea that you should tie a branch, you should hang a bunch of dates on a date palm if it's shedding its fruits too early. Again, so people will see and daven for you. There was this person that taught several braisas about emori practices to Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin said that when you're teaching these, you should make sure that you should teach all of these practices are prohibited except for these two. The first is that a bone which is stuck in your throat, what should you do? You should bring a similar bone and put it on top of your head and say, one by one, go down and be swallowed. Be swallowed and go down one by one. This is not going to be usher as an emori practice. And the other one, which is not going to be also as an emori practice, if you have a fish hook stuck in, a fish bone stuck in your throat, then you should say you're embedded like a needle, locked tightly as a shutter, go down, go down. And now we're going to go through the usher emori practices. If you say, my constellation, Gadi, show me a good fortune and don't be wearied by day or night, that's going to be usher as an emori practice. If Yehuda says, God, the Gadi that you were talking about, that's just an idol, because the pasuk says, those who set the table for God, for Gad, if a husband is called by his wife's name and the wife is called by her husband's name at night for this divination, that's going to be an emori practice. If you say, may my barrels of wine be strengthened, Dani, then that's going to be an emori practice. Rabbi Yehuda says, Don, this Dani, that's just an idol and a Avodah Zarah thing, because the pasuk says, those who say, by the life of your God, Don. If you say to a raven, croak, or to a female raven, shriek, and turn your tail to me for good fortune, that's going to be an emori practice. If you say, slaughter the rooster that croaked like a raven, or slaughter the hen that crowed like a rooster, that's going to be an emori practice. If you say, I will drink and leave over, I'll drink and leave over, that's an emori practice. If you break eggshells on walls before fledglings, or stir before fledglings, or dance before fledglings, or count 71 fledglings, all as a way to kind of keep them alive and make sure they don't die, that's going to be an emori practice. If a woman dances before kutach, silences people around her while she's putting lentils into a pot, shouts before a pot of beans, or urinates before anything cooking in a pot, which all in a way to make the things cook better and taste better, that's going to be an emori practice. However, the Gemara says you are allowed to put a splinter of mulberry wood or glass fragments into a pot so that they cook better, because this has actually been found to help and be beneficial. However, the Chachamim say you shouldn't use glass because that's going to be dangerous. We have a braisa that says you can put a fistful of salt into a lamp so that it burns better and brighter, and you can put a mud or clay under the lamp so that it burns slower. Rav Zitra says, if you needlessly cover an oil lamp or you needlessly uncover a naphtha lamp, which in both of those cases is going to make the lamp burn more quickly, then that is the Isser of Baal Tashkas. So you're destroying useful possessions. And the Gemara says, if you offer a toast and you say at your toast, wine and life to the rabbis, this is not going to be an Amori practice. This is fine, because we see that Rabbi Akiva prepared a feast for his son, and over every single cup he made a toast and said, wine and life to the mouths of the rabbis and wine and life to the mouths of their students. And finishing the sixth parak, the beginning of the seventh parak, Klal Gadol, the Mishnah says, there's a major rule about Shabbos. If you didn't even know that there was such a thing as Shabbos, and you broke the Shabbos many, many times over many Shabbosim, then you only have to bring one carbon chatas, which we know is the carbon that you bring when you accidentally violate an Isser d'Oraisa, something on the Torah level. If you know that there is such a thing as Shabbos, but you didn't realize that today was Shabbos, and you accidentally did many melachos over many Shabbosim, then you only have to bring one karban chatas for each Shabbos. If you know that it's Shabbos, however, but you just accidentally did many melachos on many different Shabbosim, then you have to bring one chatas for every av melacha. So the av melacha, we know that the av melacha is the general category of melachos, and then there are toldos, which are subcategories. When we say there are 39 melachos, we're talking about 39 av melachos, that there are 39 categories of melachos. So if you knew it was Shabbos and you accidentally broke the Shabbos many times in many different ways, you'd bring a chatas for every single category av melacha that you violated. And if you accidentally did many melachos in one category, in one av melacha, you'd bring one carbon chatas for that general category, that general av melacha, and that would be fine to cover you for all the toldos that you violated as well. Shkayach.